It's time now for Bridging the Gap, presented by Orange Partnership, where on the first Friday of each month, we meet local partners working together to close the communication gap between parents and their children and help all young people in our community live healthy and productive lives. We are joined now by three guests in the studio. And going from my left to right, we will start with Victoria Fornville, hometown hero, first of all, big deal at the station, named statewide e-learning advisor of the year by the North Carolina Virtual Public School in her first year on the job at her alma mater, Chapel Hill High School. Victoria, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We also have another hometown hero, Vianna Fornville, rising junior at Chapel Hill High, recipient of the Pauli Murray Youth Award for her commitment to social justice and her work with Jackson Center, local NAACP, and the school district's Youth Leadership Institute, in addition to working with Get Out the Vote. So, Vianna, thank you so much for being here as well.
I'm very excited to be here.
Excellent. And we also have Vicki Feaster Fornville, 2025 Pauli Murray Award recipient and also member of the Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board. Vicki, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I wanted to start, we'll start with you, Vicki, because we had a little conversation just before we started here off mic about that Pauli Murray Award and how big of a deal it is for you and how big of a deal it is, for me to have more people know about it. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that first. What does it mean to you to win that award?
It's a really big deal. She was a stark advocate for social justice and social change for all people. And in our community, we need to know that it's okay to stand up for each other and to speak out when something is wrong. Because just because everyone has gone in the wrong direction doesn't mean you have to. So it excites me to know that someone noticed that I am trying to do that. And more so than just that I'm trying to do that, that hopefully in what I'm trying to do is bringing community members along the way for the work to get done. So I am honored to be an award recipient holding her name, and I hope that it will encourage people to learn more about her and the social justice work that needs to be done.
And that is PauliMurra, Pauli Murray. And the Pauli Murray Center has a pretty great website, paulimurraycenter.com. I didn't know anything about Pauli Murray at all before I moved to this area about 3.5 years ago. And it's one of those stories where you're like, how do more people not know this? Like, there should be a movie, there should be like a curriculum, like it should be a whole thing, right?
Oh, yes, I agree. And I also will say to that, there are many, many things more people should know about. And when we don't pay attention and tell the stories ourselves, we will be left with the stories that are left not being told or even erased. So she was a big advocate here in Orange County and Durham County. She was a preacher. She was a doctor. She was her own person. She didn't want to be defined by what someone else defined her. She answered to only what she chose to answer to. And that's huge in this area and everywhere it should be.
That's the voice of Vicki Feaster Fornville. We're also joined by Vianna Fornville, hometown hero, rising junior at Chapel Hill High. Also a recipient of the Pauli Murray Award. I'm sure you are somewhat familiar with Pauli Murray before you got this award. How meaningful was it to you to be recognized like that?
I was really grateful that the work that I've done in the community, being so young, was actually making a difference to where I was being able to be recognized. Pauli Murray, they are such a advocate for this community and really the country. Getting that award for my work in comparison to theirs was just crazy to me, but I was just really grateful. Pauli Murray's advocacy with the LGBTQ community, them being one of the first non-binary advocates, to be honored in that name was something that I didn't think I was capable of. And getting that award has made me realize that, like Pauli Murray, there are so many opportunities out there for us to create change.
Along those lines, we were also talking off mic about more directly to the work of the Orange Partnership about your advocacy for mental health and particularly amongst students. And you were saying that a lot of that was kind of motivated by your experience with COVID. I wonder if you could talk more about that.
So I went into COVID as a fifth grader, and COVID ended the spring before my seventh grade year. So my first year of middle school was completely virtual, and I feel like that was a really pivotal moment in every person's life. So having to develop online was very difficult for me and took a huge toll on my mental health. And that made me realize, coming out of COVID, made me realize that I had that experience. A lot of my friends had that experience. A lot of us have that experience. And it made me realize that I need to speak up about this. And so I've been to different conventions about it. I've been QPR trained, question, persuade, refer. And just continuing in my advocacy journey, having me realize that mental health, while it isn't something that's talked about a lot, is something that everyone deals with.
It's the voice of Viana Fornville. We're also joined by Victoria Fornville. And I wanted to talk about the work that you've done, too, because I feel like this fits in the kind of that ballpark of what Viana was talking about. Talk to me a little bit about your work specifically in the e-learning field. Like, where a little bit of a lead in here. I'm a former classroom teacher. I spent 15 years teaching middle and high school English and social studies. And one of the really powerful things that I realized at some point about teaching that's like also terrifying is how much control you have over these other people's day, like how easy it is to mess up 30 people's day. And you're in a situation where people are like, these are students who have kind of run out of options in a lot of ways for various reasons. And I feel like the fact that you won a statewide award for this, you must have a pretty secure understanding of what those students are bringing into that learning environment.
Yes, absolutely. So I work at Chapel High School. I work with all grade levels, and I do North Carolina Virtual Public School. So a lot of students who are taking courses that are not necessarily offered at our school, or they may have had a specific issue and they weren't able to take that course at the school at that time. But I also do credit recovery. And so for my credit recovery students, I do encounter a lot of students who have way more hardships than anyone really wants to talk about in the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools District. And balancing those hardships while also trying to be an adolescent is extremely hard. And I think that I'm able to connect with those students so well because, kind of like my sister, I graduated high school in COVID or in 2020. And so I understand what it's like to go through college or school virtually. And I also understand what those students went through who kind of lost that social interaction piece of school. And they lost like that really ability to express themselves and kind of grow the way that a lot of us grew up being able to go to school without having virtual restrictions. But more importantly, you know, having those students who are dealing with those hardships, I really understand why a student may come to school frustrated, or a student may start out their day not knowing how it's going to end, or really just being uncertain of why they're even at school. I have a lot of students who their parents aren't forcing them to come to school, and that's part of why they're taking online courses, because they may be having to provide for a family, or they may be struggling with housing. And regardless, I just always want to be that safe space. I want to be that voice to be able to advocate for my students, because a lot of them feel like they don't really have anywhere else to turn, and they really are just trying to graduate just to be done with it. But my overall goal is not only, yes, get them to graduate, but actually get them to learn the life lessons that they needed from school, whether that be education or genuinely trying to be a better person at the end of the day.
It's the voice of Victoria Fornville, the State E-Wide Learning Advisor of the Year from Chapel Hill High School. We also have Viana Fornville, a rising junior at Chapel Hill High, and Vicky Feaster Fornville. Victoria, one thing that you said that kind of struck me and reminded me of an earlier conversation I had is these students like gaining the ability to express themselves. I was talking with a middle school art teacher recently who said that she's got these students that are like kind of, you know, she's there in a middle school, so she's got them like 6th, 7th, and 8th. Mm-hmm. And this group of 6th graders that came in like had this breakthrough this year where they could suddenly start kind of expressing themselves artistically in a way that they were held back in the previous 2 years. And she attributed it to that, like, coming out of COVID, like that being back in that environment where, like, you know, for some learners, it's different than others, but for some disciplines, it's different than others. And visual arts is a pretty hard one to do virtually, right? So, them having that time back, she felt like, and I asked if that was like she thought that was a unique experience for her, if it was more of a broad experience. And she said amongst the network of art teachers that she talks to statewide, they felt like that was pretty consistent. So as somebody who's kind of in the schools right now on the teaching side, and then Viana is somebody who's in there as a student, I wonder if you feel like there's been any sort of like concrete step forward and like we are now back to being social creatures at school.
I guess from my perspective on like the teacher side of that, I think that students are still learning how to properly communicate with one another as well as communicate with adults. And I think adults are having to learn how to communicate with students of a different generation. And I think that causes a significant disconnect that doesn't necessarily have to be attributed to COVID. So I think that while students are trying to slowly learn more social cues and understand how to communicate with one another, they're still kind of being hitting like a brick wall when you're dealing with a teacher who may be kind of stuck in their ways, if you will, and not really wanting to understand that, hey, yes, this student is 16, but they're not going to act like how you may have been acting when you were 16. And for good reasons. I mean, we're meant to evolve and adolescents develop on their own time. So it really shouldn't be expected that someone who may have been 16 in like the 80s or the 90s is going to be the same as a student who's 16 in 2025.
Right. And I'm sure that Vicky, you could speak to this some too, but just like the social media and internet access alone, like makes that communication so wildly different that, as you were saying, COVID notwithstanding, these are issues that we're facing generationally, right?
Most certainly. And I can chime in as we're speaking about Chapel High as a history talking point. We have a student here who's currently at Chapel High. We have a staff member who is currently at Chapel High. And I graduated from Chapel High. When I attended Chapel High, you could smoke on campus. And here we are standing in solidarity with Orange Partnership talking anti-smoking, anti-vaping in a space where you're not supposed to be smoking on any state property. So we do evolve. And people in my generation and other generations, we have to really understand that young people may not communicate the way we communicated in that time, but we have to accept the fact that if we want to stand in their good graces and continue to communicate with them, we need to move it along. So if they want to send us a text and not call us, answer it. If they want to send us an email, God willing, which they may not answer an email, you better get a hold to the text. Answer it, because the fact of the matter is, talk to them on their terms or you risk not talking to them at all. And then where will we be?
We are visiting with Vicky Feaster-Fornville, Victoria Fornville, and Viana Fornville, and we don't really have a lot of time left. So I just kind of wanted to turn it over to y'all if there's anything else that you wanted to mention that we haven't gotten to yet.
I want to speak about Black kids in schools with mental health. I'm a rising junior, like you mentioned, and my past 2 years at Chapel Hill, I've seen more mental health issues than I think I've really been exposed to ever before. In middle school, it was one thing, but a lot of teachers and a lot of staff members just kind of blamed it on COVID. But now we're about 4 years out of that, and it's not getting any better. If anything, it's getting worse. The substance use and just the anger that the halls are filled with, it's clear that there's issues and they're not being talked about enough, and there's not being enough information about them. So kids are left with, well, what do I do? I don't know how to combat the way I'm feeling, and at home I'm not talking about it, so where do I go? And they turn to things that are not good for them, and they know they're not good for them. We learn about it in health class. But they do it because that's all that they're left with. And I just want the people who are my age listening to know that that's okay and it's not their fault. I feel like in this school district specifically, Black students have never been given the resources that they deserve. And mental health issues are just like that. So when we talk about mental health in schools, we have to think about the context of Chapel Carbone City Schools. We need to think about how, yes, we are out of COVID, so there are going to be more issues. But we also need to talk about how Black kids have never been given what they deserve. And until they do get those resources and they do get that information, my community is going to continue going downhill because no one is willing to help.
The voice of Vianna Fornville. We are also joined by Victoria Fornville and Vicky Feaster Fornville. And we've got like less than a minute left if there's anything else anyone wants to chime in on.
I just want to say that I completely agree with you, Vianna. And I think it's really important that we understand that our kids are not just numbers, but they are humans. And whether they are 16 and or 15 or 17 and 18 or regardless or older, it's important to know that their feelings matter and they should know that there are adults who are there to support them. There are resources that are there to support them. There's money allocated for the resources. And if our students aren't receiving them, I think that needs to be the number one question as to why not. Because everyone wants to know, well, why is the graduation rate that? But no one wants to talk about, well, why do you have kids who are addicted to substances? So I think that's something that definitely needs to be discussed.
Very much in line with the work of the Orange Partnership. Vicky, is there anything else that you wanted to mention before we wrap up?
I just would like to say, in listening to my two daughters who are very at two different places in their lives, I would very much like to conclude by saying, community listen, parents listen, teachers listen, school board members listen, administration listen. If our students are continuing to tell us that they're not getting what they need, whether they're Black, brown, blue, green, or white, we have to do what we have to do to support all students. We win when we all win.
Thank you for tuning in to Bridging the Gap, presented by Orange Partnership, a community collaborative working to close the communication gap between parents and their children so all young people can live healthy and productive lives. Find more information at orangepartnership.org.